yesterday. I thought he was sticking his fingers in his ears. I think the plug is... Okay. Now, what's off? Okay. Luke 13. We're starting off. Get your brains back on repentance. Verse 1, there were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now jump to Acts 17. Acts 17. I had a question about, not this text, but about witnessing to people when they have superstitions and they don't know exactly the God that they worship. Here's a text for you, okay? Because the Greeks had many gods. The Romans had many gods. A Christian has one God. Three distinct people, but one God. Three persons in one God. And in verse 22, then Paul said, or stood in the midst of Mars Hill, this is Acts 17, and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown gods. You ever think about that? Somebody's got to worship, they don't even know who it is, but they want to cover their bases, so what do? Well, just in case we're missing one of these, you know, can you imagine doing that in India? 3,300,000 different deities, okay? They don't worship lamb. I think that's interesting. But they do worship insects and snakes and everything else. To the unknown God, to whom there ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now, again, it says, and is determined the times that before appointed in the bounds of their habitation. I had books I ended up getting from a sale, okay, and it was from an African-American believer, okay, this is a woman and stuff, her books got sold, and I bought these books in the background, how they chose to worship what they were worshiping, but one of the books that got mixed in with it is something that made her very angry, and I could tell, and that's because they taught that, and it was taught in America, that Africans were a lesser race, that they weren't of the same humanity as Anglo-Saxons. Okay? There is no way for that to be true. There's only three types of people in the world. There's the Jew, God's chosen people. You don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong. They're God's chosen people. They're the most blessed and the most persecuted people on the face of this earth. There is the Gentile, made up of Africans, Asians, Anglo-Saxons, Polish, English, Irish, Canadian, South American, and Indians. They're all Gentiles. If they're not a Jew, they're a Gentile. And they worship all these different gods. And then there is the church. I am not a Baptist writer. You do not have to be a Baptist to be part of the body of Christ. You can't support it with Scripture. This is not in the lessons. I'm ranting because I'm tired of the way people are. If they have professed and they are truly accepted Christ as Savior, they're part of the bride of Christ. They're part of the body of Christ. They're your brother and sister in Christ. Do you agree with everything that your physical brother and sister thought or did? I'm one of eight children. Okay? There's a lot of times we didn't agree. I have a brother who's not saved. I keep witnessing to him. We don't agree on certain things. He doesn't have peace in his religion. I have joy in my Savior. I had sisters who didn't know their Savior. Now they do. They're closer to me than they used to be. I used to be the one who was on the outside because I ruined things, because I seemed to bring Jesus into Christmas. Okay? I'm telling you, we caused an argument early on, Judy and I, because was Jesus born on December 25th? No. All right? I don't care. If that bothers you, I don't care. But we decided, because that's the day we celebrate his birthday, to have a birthday cake for Jesus and light candles on it. It's kind of hard to put 2,000 some odd candles on a cake, but we... You know, we had a birthday cake for Jesus, and I had one of my nieces who got all upset and ran to Grandma, my mom, and said, "Uncle Brian's ruining Christmas. He's making it about Jesus." And my sister got mad. She's saved now. She wasn't then. "How dare you do that?" And I said, "Because I'm not an idiot. What are you?" See, you think I get in trouble with this. Do you ever get in trouble with your mouth? Because when you come at me with something that's just crazy, I'm going to come at you with something that's very blunt. Okay? And sometimes I have to eat my words. And Judy, before I go to the street corner, before I go over to council, you know what she says to me? "You be kind and you be nice. Do you hear me, James?" That's what she tells me all the time, because I have to practice doing that. Because in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So I have to let Jesus take over and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But you need to understand, all people are human beings. Karen, you're a nurse. You can take blood from an Asian and give it to an Anglo-Saxon, can't you? You can take blood from an African and give it to an Asian, because we're all of one blood. We are a separate creation than the animals. Okay, the junior church or the Sunday school, they're going to be looking at creation today over there. Okay, but I want you to understand something. It tells us that we're all of one blood, we're all of one people. And then it says the bounds of their habitation. You know why there's bounds on your habitation? Because so many thousand years ago, a group decided they were going to build a tower, and God separated them. If you don't believe me, read the beginning of the book, okay? It's in the Cliff Notes, I promise you. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they feel after him, and find through, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, and even certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven art and man's device. I got in trouble with my family. It was French, Roman, Catholic. There's certain things. And I then my daughter-in-law, her family, Sheila saved. Her mom got saved a little while before she died, but they're staunch Filipino Roman Catholics. Okay? My family was staunch French Roman Catholics. They put their own little things to worship in their yard, and we called them either Mary in the bathtub or Mary on the half shell. And they had their own little things that they venerated and they worshiped, because you're taught to do that. Yes, Jan? Okay? Because they try to venerate Mary and bring her up with God. I had a conversation with somebody the other day about the fact that that's found in all Gentile pagan religions, mother-son worship. You can study it through history. And so Roman Catholicism added that in so that they could then draw those people who had those practices and they'd feel at home with them. So they varied their religious teachings to draw different Gentiles with pagan practices into the church. And as they did that, Catholicism pulled more and more and more and more and more away from biblical Christianity, because you know what you can't do? You can't please everybody. You still with me? We're not to have statues that we worship, okay? I had a sister before she got saved, visited the church. She came here. She's now saved. She says, how come Jesus isn't on your cross? And I said, because we don't serve a dead Savior. You don't want a dead religion, do you? We're not a death cult. If anything, we want to be a life cult. Jesus, I am come. You might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Okay. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Preaching on the street corner, and I talked about the fact that there will be a day when the secrets of men will be judged by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4, I think it's 13, says everything is naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing hidden from him. So you know what that does with me? It makes me have this place. I tell you, my personality can get in the way. It's gotten away with some of you people before. Okay? But the thing that has to happen is he must increase, I must decrease. And the thing that takes place with that is, who am I lifting up? Repentance has been part of salvation from the time of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul preached it, okay? Here you see Paul preaching this. Now commandeth that all men everywhere should repent, because judgment's coming when you do that. You know what happens? The reason he says that, and the reason he points to the fact that you're going to be judged through Jesus Christ, is because repentance is a change of mind that brings about a change of will, which brings about a change of choice, which brings about a change of direction. I once was lost, but now am found. It's no longer my way, it's his way. Okay. Acts 20, and let me see here. Paul's preaching to the church at Ephesus. Verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Church had already been planted at Ephesus. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after that what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. We did it publicly yesterday, okay? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance where? Toward God, and faith toward Jesus Christ. These people who turn around and go out and witness and they don't talk to anybody, a lost person who doesn't hear that they need to repent. But if you pray a prayer and ask Jesus to save you, you're going to heaven. Does a prayer save anybody?
No.
The heart condition that acknowledges that you need a Savior because you are a sinner and that you've been going in the wrong way. And so you're turning to the only way that the Bible says you can know salvation. That's repentance. Turning from my way to his way. We don't like that. We don't even like it as Christians. I have to repent daily. My wife said something this morning, and I wanted to say something back to her. And she smiled at me, and I said, okay, honey. Because I wanted to say something, but I know I shouldn't. Because you know what you won't do? You won't say some things to people that you love. At least it should be that way. That you may want to say, but you shouldn't say. You know what happens with God? God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever you believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved you. But God commendeth his love towards me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he... So I know that my wife loves me. So even if I disagree with her, sometimes I'm not going to say something. Because I have to learn to respond biblically. I have to make that choice every day. I mean, Walter and Karen have been here long enough. They know sometimes I don't always respond biblically. I can react. Once in a while, right, Carla? She's smiling at me. Okay? I have to learn to respond biblically, to act in a biblical manner, and to reach in the love that God reached to me in. I'm supposed to establish that love in my home as the head of my home. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. God's word tells us we're to repent. It is part of salvation. When the scripture is given, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and the text we just read says repentance towards God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm not good enough. My works aren't good enough. I can't earn it myself. I turn to you. Father, I have to believe by faith the sacrifice your word tells me that Jesus made for me, and I must receive that sacrifice and his victory over death and hell is my only hope of heaven. Faith toward who?
So you're saying you have to humble yourself, and you have to nurture your humbleness to get to that point where you will repent?
No, because that would be works on your part. It would be the immediate when the Holy Spirit is working that you finally see yourself that way, because you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. A person has to know they're lost before they can get saved. Otherwise, they will just add Jesus onto their life and go on living it their own way. So repentance towards God is saying, God puts you in a place, because Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by... Okay, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if you look at, we could go to John 14... It's not in the lesson this morning. Let's do it anyways. Because you asked the question, I will answer the question. John 14. I want to give you scripture to support the answer that I'm giving to you. Because if I can't support the answer with multiple scripture, then you need to check me out. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it's line upon line, scripture with scripture. John 14. Okay. Verse 13, if you love me, you keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. See, when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth. See, when you're going your own way, you try to say you have your own truth. If you have your own truth and I have my own truth, then none of us have the truth, because your way can be different than my way. But if there's one truth, God's truth, then I've got to get my truth in line with his truth. Right? Doesn't it make sense? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay? So we're introduced to him as the Spirit of Truth. Okay, look at John chapter 16. The Comforter, I will send you another Comforter. Now, verse 7 of John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove who? The world. He's going to convict them of sin. Okay? Can you be convicted of sin and not get saved? Yes. I witnessed to my brother. He got convicted of sin, so he tried to become a better Catholic and tried to work hard to earn his way there. And I can't break him free out of that yet. Because I can't. The Holy Spirit has to. But he has to at some point repent and believe come together. Okay? He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment because of sin, because they believe not on me. What's the sin that sends you to hell? Unbelief. He can forgive everything else. Okay? Unbelief. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he... See, because they weren't truly saved yet, were they? This is before the cross. This is before the tomb. This is before the empty grave. This is before the ascension. Okay? Howbeit when he is come, and he's going to come after Jesus leaves. Got it? Am I misinterpreting that? Okay. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. See the ministry of the Holy Spirit that comes at the moment of salvation when you can come under conviction and you're willing to say this. Yeah, I'm willing to admit it's me. I have sinned. That's not... I did wrong, but you made me upset, so you're half the fault for what I did. It's not you made me do it. No, I didn't. Yeah. I've had to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I did this wrong. I may in my mind still think that you're a jerk. Don't you ever think that about somebody? I know people thought it about me, okay? But no matter what you do, that shouldn't be what causes my choice. That's repentance. And until I see myself as a sinner, then I come under conviction, and I need to find the answer. Illustration. How many of you know the story of the Philippian jailer? What must I do to be saved? You know what they didn't preach to him? They didn't say you need to repent, because you know what he was doing? He was already repenting. See, because on some you need to preach repentance and present Jesus Christ, and you don't have to mention faith, because the minute they come under conviction, they're going to cling on to that which is there. On some, you don't need to mention repentance because they're already under conviction. Okay, do you know how many times people try to witness to somebody and that person is broken and they know they're a mess and they're wrong? So the guy takes the Bible or the woman takes the Bible and they start beating the person to death with the fact that they're a sinner. And the only reason they normally do it is because I thank God I am not as other men. I fast often. I give tithes of all I have. I pray 3 times a day and you're not me. When they're convicted, they're already repentant. They know they can't make it by themselves. You don't need to preach repentance. They're already repenting. You preach faith in Jesus Christ. When you don't know, you give them repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? Okay. If you don't agree with me, we can talk about it later. Okay, because... We've looked at some false views of repentance. Repentance is not reformation or changing your life, preparing to get saved. If somebody thinks that, you know what they do? They're enjoying their sin, so they'll tell you, I'm not ready to get saved because I'm not ready to give that up. And I got to give that up to get saved. The giving that up comes when Jesus Christ not only saves you, but becomes your Lord. He's my Lord and Savior. Not my will, but thine be done. So it's not changing one's life. You ever see anybody change their life? Secular addictions programs help people change their lives. And some of them never return to their addiction. But without Jesus Christ, are they going to heaven? No. Repentance is not doing penance. We talked about that last week. Okay? Beating yourself up, confession to a priest, having forgiveness pronounced by someone other than Jesus, it makes it works. It's not salvation. Repentance is not mere remorse for wrong actions. I'm sorry. I had to say I'm sorry three times because you know what I continued to do? I had sorrow of the world and not godly sorrow. So I keep saying I'm sorry and don't change anything. Yesterday I said to somebody, they were talking, I said, what is the definition of insanity? Continuing to do the same thing, expecting a different, doesn't work. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he. You still with me? Repentance is not merely believing in Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? You believe in Christ? So don't the devils. Right? In believing that he is the Savior, does it make him your Savior? Old Testament picture. God has told the Jews, Israel, that they needed to take a lamb. Okay? Exodus 12 or Exodus 14? Not sure right now. I'd have to turn to it. But he turns to them and they told him, because the death angel is going to come through. And they told him, he says, you need to take a lamb. It has to be a spotless lamb without any problem with it. You need to take a lamb. And then the next thing it says, the lamb. So he's a very specific lamb. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because he's behold the Lamb of God. So you got to take the lamb. So you take the lamb. You go a couple more passages or scripture verses and it says, and your lamb. It went from being just any lamb to a very specific lamb to being one that you claim. And so then they put the blood on the doorposts and God tells them, when the angel comes through, he says, I will see the blood and I will pass over you. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He can take them all away, but if they won't make him theirs, faith toward Jesus Christ, you die in your sins. It's not turning over a new leaf. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? I've made them before. I've even written them down. Then I got stressed. And I went looking for candy. It's not merely believing in Jesus Christ, okay? True salvation includes repentance. And true repentance also leads to faith. True salvation must have both parts. That's why when someone comes under conviction, set the hook. If you're witnessing to them, take it to see. Are they truly repentant? Have they come under the conviction? So that then they could hear Jesus. They go together. You can't earn it. You don't have to clean yourself up to receive him. And that comes from a works religion attitude when you think you got to clean up your act before so you can be good enough so then God can receive you. Your Bible says, you can put your name in there, while Bryant was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. You know what I just did? I made him my lamb. The sacrifice. So when the judgment comes. Okay, so it's not these things. It's admitting that I have sinned against God. Okay? Acts 20. And verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and Greeks, also testifying to both the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Its repentance is to receive Christ as Lord. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Well, I understand repentance and how that works. Okay, Romans chapter 10 is part of the Romans road when you're trying to lead someone to the Lord. You ready? Start at verse 9. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, see in John 3:16 it says in him, here it says on him. Don't let someone debate with you, well, if you only believe in him, you don't believe on him, you're not saved. They use those back and forth, okay? Believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. On the name of who? The Lord. He's not just Jesus Christ, my Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. You with me? See, repentance means to surrender to God's rule. Isaiah 45. I didn't mark it, but we'll go there. Isaiah 45. Verse 22. We'll start. Let's go to verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from the ancient time, who hath told it from the time. Have not I the Lord, and is there no God else beside who? A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is I have sworn by myself, the word that has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. What is it? Philippians chapter 2. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You still with me? Repentance is admitting I've sinned against God and being sorry for that. Acts 20:21. It's against God because that's who all sin is against. It's God I've offended. When David caused the death, and I talked about that last week, the death of Uriah the Hittite, when he prayed and asked for forgiveness, he said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. This wickedness in thy sight. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's acknowledging that. You're sorry for that because you offended God. He made us to give him glory. Saved or lost, you were given life to give God glory. So it does mean to turn around. Okay, I'm going this way in my life. I'm making my choices. It's my thought. I'm going to compare myself to other people, and I'm not as bad as they are. Someone give scripture to me, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, you mean God's got a standard different than my standard? Yes. I was turning away from God. I had two different women in cars drive by and give me the bird on the street corner. I always love that when they tell me their IQ. When I turn in my mind, say, I have to stand before a holy, righteous God, repentance is taking place. It's a change in my thoughts that causes a change in my heart, which causes a change in my... And it doesn't say repenting from my sin. I got saved out of that. I grew up doing 10 Hail Marys and an Our Father a bunch of times, especially the time of year, okay? And I would confess, I'd have to go in the booth, they'd open the little screen.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 9 years since my last confession. Listens to the confessor, will you try to remember? And he doesn't know if you're telling the truth or not. I told you last week, my brother told me to make something up when I was in his wedding as a 9-year-old. And then he says, well, do so many Hail Marys, do an act of contrition, that's penance, and then your sin's going to be forgiven. But Jesus said, no man can forgive sin but your Father which is in. So you
turn to him. And now, Lord, Father, I want to come to you. How can I come? One way, repentance and faith.
It's all part of the act of accepting Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. It's a change of mind. It is a reaching by God to me and me taking that reach. Someone throws you a lifeline, what are you going to do? You reject it, you're still accountable for it. I'm not getting far through this lesson, but I'm trying to make sure the Lord's led me in a certain direction. We're going to go on with this, okay? There's an old joke. There was a flood coming to New Orleans. And they came through and they drove through and they announced, everybody must evacuate, the waters are going to come high. If you don't leave, you're going to drown. Woman says, I'm a good Catholic, I don't need to leave, God will protect me. The water comes up. They come through announcing again with a loudspeaker, you must evacuate. God will take care of me. They finally, the water comes up, it's over her doorstep, it's coming into the bottom floor of her house, and they come by with a boat and said, lady, get in the boat. Because the flood is coming and you are going to drown. God's going to take care of me. Water gets to the second story. They come by again. In another boat. Lady, get into the boat. The floods are coming. You're going to drown. God's going to protect me. The water comes up. She goes out the window. She swims to the side of her roof, climbs up onto the peak of her roof and waits there. They fly over in a helicopter. They drop down a safety rescue man with a helicopter. And he says, come with me. You're going to drown. She says, God will protect me. Guess what she did? She drowned. She stands at the judgment. And she says, but God, I trusted in what I knew. And I believe you were going to rescue me. And he says, lady, I sent him twice in a car, twice in a boat, and a helicopter. What more can God do to save you than what he's already done?
But you got to be willing to accept the rescue. She didn't change her mind and she died. If you don't change your mind and you think you can work your way there, you'll die. You'll die in your sins and you'll go to hell. Because there's no repentance. Turning, it's not turning from your sin, it's turning to God. And when you turn to God, the Father will make sure that Jesus Christ is lifted up before you. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This is the answer to why you must go to the heathen and tell them about Jesus Christ. Because God will reveal to you whatever light you're willing to accept. You want to believe in evolution? Go to hell. I don't care. Can't change it. It won't save you. You want to believe in false gods that give you no hope, to tell you you've got to work and please them and earn your way there? I don't care. Can't change it. And I don't mean I don't care about them. I mean I can't change it. Because God offers one way. Well, you think that your way is the only way. It's not my way. I repented of my way and took his way, Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. No man seen the Father, lest the Son declare him. You must repent to him. Not from just your sin, but to him. That's biblical repentance. You ever have children or anybody around, they say, I know that was wrong. I'm going to stop it. I will be better. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't measure up. How many times you got to tell a lie to be a liar? Liars go to hell. How many times you got to be a thief? Now, how many times you got to steal to be a thief? Told you about the cookies last week, remember? Okay? What you need to understand with that is you can't earn it, because if you keep the whole law but you break one, you're guilty of it all. So you must turn, repent toward God. Because he says, I have provided a way, and it's the only way, and it's through my Son. You need to make him Savior and Lord. That's repentance. Turning to him, and then when that's shown to you, immediately tied together, it's not like you repent and you work on it and then accept Christ as your Savior. That's not biblical repentance. It's not salvation. They come together. Am I making sense to you? The prodigal son. We won't turn there. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 20. He took his father's riches. He wanted his inheritance. He got it early, and he went and spent it on riotous living. Boy, he was popular for a while. It's like the first teenage boy who gets his car and comes to school. And he can drive people everywhere. So what, they want the fancy car you could give them. That's why I think you should give them a rusted old bucket. Gets them two there and back, and they can't put as many kids in it. Okay? Think you're something special? No. Prodigal son thought he was something special until the money ran out. The next thing you know, he's a Jewish boy and he's feeding pigs. Pigs are an unclean animal. They weren't supposed to be around them. They can't eat them, not supposed to be around them. And he's starving so bad he wants to eat the husks that he was feeding the pigs. And it says in that text, he came to himself. Repentance. Even the servants in my father's house have it better than me. I will return to my father. He becomes under conviction, spiritual enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. He humbles himself, acknowledges his sin against God, against his father, and turned around. So he's facing a different direction. Evidence of his repentance was shown in that he returned home, made things right with his father, humbled himself, and was willing to be a mere servant. You know what the beautiful part of the story is? That's not what the father did with him.
It's a true story, the prodigal son. It's not a made-up story. The father was looking for him. When he came, he took off his ring, put robes upon him, and said, "This is my son who once was dead and now is alive. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. When you repent, turn to God, recognize it. The only way happens right then." He says, "You're now my child. You're born into my family." Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, repented and was converted so dramatically he became an honest man. And he even paid back those he cheated. He didn't pay him back before he repented and accepted who Jesus was. He paid him back because he realized who Jesus was and changed his life. I always love that. Your little kids learn the song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. What'd he do? He climbed up into to see what he could see. And the song goes, Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down to me." Changed his life. He had to come down from where he was. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the... You won't recognize yourself as a sinner unless you're willing to be humble. Amen? 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to finish with this verse because we're looking at what repentance is, biblical examples of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You still with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He's talking about the Thessalonican church, and he says in verse 7, "So that ye were examples unto all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith," what? "To Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner and enter in we had unto you, and how ye," what? "Turn to God from the idols they had in their life. Turn to God to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." That was an example of repentance, and then the fruit of the repentance. Because God doesn't need to see the fruit to know your heart. But you know who needs to see the fruit? The lost and other believers. There's only one thing that we have that unbelievers don't have. Okay, that's if we're truly saved, the Holy Spirit within us. His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And sometimes you out and you see a person, they act a little different, and you turn around and said, "Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And you go, "Praise God, I have!" Because there's just something that just clicked with you. Right? That's God's Spirit. It starts working, you start listening, and then the fruit matches the change in direction. And then you start your walk, like I've been preaching on Wednesday nights. All God's people said, take a break.